It's Celtics coverage on clnsradio.com.
Sensational move from Kyrie Irving. Oh, Hayward. Hayward lays it up and in.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll free 347-215-7771.
So that was quite a Valentine the Celtics gave us tonight at the Garden. Wasn't exactly a box of chocolates, now was it? Celtics lose again at home in the Garden tonight to the Clippers. 129-116, 129 points, the most points this season given up by the Boston Celtics. Hello, everybody. Ty Ray hosting the CLNS Media post-game show. It's been more than a year, I think, since I've hosted a post-game show, so this could be ugly tonight, just as ugly as the game. And then, of course, thank you, ESPN, for putting Mark Jackson and Dick Vitale on the broadcast to make things even worse, to add insult to injury. They didn't even talk about the game most of the time. We heard about Dickie V's college days. Now, having said that, Dick did coach in the NBA poorly from 78 to 79, so I just want to give his NBA credentials out there. I'm joined tonight by Sam Sheehan. And before we throw out to the SeatGeek call lines, Sam, I could probably go on an hour-long rant here on my own about how pissed off I am, how poorly this team is playing defensively. Mind you, I want to throw something out to you before I get your comments, though. At home, at half, the last three games, to the Pacers, 59 points, to the Cavaliers, 64 points, to the Clippers tonight, 61 points. Those are great halftime scores for opponents if you're the Denver Nuggets hosting at McNichols Arena in 1985. Okay? Not exactly great numbers for a team that's considered to be the defensive wizards of the NBA. Can we just throw that aside for now? I don't think this team is playing any kind of defense at the moment.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's it. You've hit the nail on the head. I mean, that's what, you know, the bugaboo has been for this team, you know, really since this swoon. And, you know, to be honest, this is a stretch that could probably look a little bit worse for the Celtics if they hadn't, you know, muckled down and gotten a couple of hard wins like they did in that Portland game, like they did in some of these other things. I really think that missing Marcus Smart has really hurt this team defensively. I know Celtics fans, some of them who were really excited to see Tyreke Evans come in and shore up this bad defense we've seen. I know they were excited to get Marcus out the door and push him out the door, but Celtics actually, I've got the numbers right here in front of me. Before Marcus Smart went down, Celtics under 100 defensive rating, you know, number one in the league. Since then, they've fallen all the way to seventh defensive rating, more like 103, and none of that is counting the abomination that we saw play out on the parquet tonight. So really not a great job for the Celtics, who seem to really be looking forward to this All-Star break. So, you know, it's tough to see this happen, and it really feels like that you know, they might have been there might have been a dispiriting factor to, you know, getting crushed by the Cavaliers in Paul Pierce night. It almost feels like, I know it's 2 days later, but it almost feels like a hangover effect on that.
Well, Sam, I would agree with you, except we've seen this time and time again. They shouldn't have beat the Wizards in Washington. They blew a 10-point lead late in that game and are a Markieff Morris foul away, three-point foul away from dropping that game. And then they throw up a horrible performance against the Pacers. They were down by 26. So think about this. They've been down by, what, 26 points to the Pacers at home, 27 points to the Cavaliers at home. They were down by 14 in the first half to this Clippers team. The Clippers aren't bad, but they're not great. They're a mediocre. They're an average NBA team. And they lose by 13 tonight, 126 to 113. I am going to literally have nightmares about alley-oops being thrown to DeAndre Jordan. We knew it was coming. Why can't they defend that?
It was mind-boggling to kind of, you know, watch it happen. I mean, that's got to be number one on the scouting report when you're, like, looking at it, right? Like, guard the all-star center who does nothing but dunk the whole time. You know, and I'm sure that some people are going to point fingers to the fact that, you know, Brad went with, you know, the Hacker Jordan strategy, and DeAndre had a hot shooting night, so to speak, from, you know, the free throw line. But I don't think that really has anything to do with it. That's kind of missing the point of the greater point of how the Celtics played. You know, I don't want to let the Clippers off the hook either. They also played some pretty atrocious defense, and the Celtics seem to miss about a billion layups. I don't think we'll ever see Kyrie Irving miss as many around the rim shots as he did tonight. Like, that was amazing almost to see, to watch him be as spectacular as he's been all season and yet have so much trouble finishing. You know, when he gets where he wants to go, that was kind of staggering to me almost. And I think that you know, that could be a, you know, another reason why the Celtics, you know, really lost this game, because, you know, he was still getting where he wanted to go, at least in my opinion. He just could not finish.
I agree with you 100%, Sam. My problem right now with the Celtics offense, which has been atrocious as well, is the fact we're seeing so much isolation with Kyrie, even with Rozier. I don't see that crisp passing. I don't see any signs of that team that we saw early on in the season, that amazing teamwork, that this team that seemed to gel together. I don't see the energy. And even Brad, to me, looks at a loss for answers right now. You know, I know, I know he's been turning to Marcus Morris for offense. Of course, you know, if the ball is going to Marcus Morris, it certainly isn't going to get passed, right? I mean, the ball goes to die in Marcus Morris's hands, even though I like him. I think he's a fine addition to the squad, but he's not exactly – you know, he's not exactly a high assist man. He's not going to work it around. He's going to take his shot or try to create his shot. Now, we do have one caller on the phone, but before we get to that, Sam, I'm going to open up the SeatGeek call lines. Buying tickets to sports and concerts can be complicated and confusing, but there is a better way with SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the smartest, easiest way to get tickets to every type of live event, whether you're searching for a last-minute deal, planning a night out, or need to find the perfect gift. SeatGeek helps you find the best seats at the best prices, fully guaranteed. There's nothing quite like seeing your favorite team or musician in person, and SeatGeek will get you closer to the action for a great value. I have SeatGeek on my phone. I use the app. It's by far the easiest way I found to shop for tickets. I can be anywhere with just a few taps. I can instantly find seats. I actually just use the SeatGeek app. Maybe I'm going to give the tickets back. I use the SeatGeek app to buy tickets to the Blazers and Celtics. Now, for all of you who know me, I'm in Tacoma, so the Blazers are the closest NBA team. SeatGeek is designed to make your ticket buying experience easier than ever. SeatGeek saves you time and money by searching multiple ticket sites to compare prices and find amazing deals. And to get you the most bang for the buck, SeatGeek grades every ticket based on value to help you immediately identify the best seats that fit your budget. Plus, every purchase is fully guaranteed, so you can shop for tickets on SeatGeek with confidence. Make SeatGeek your go-to app for finding the best deals on every type of ticket, from sports and concerts to comedy and theater. Best of all, to all of us CLNS Media listeners, you get $20 off the first SeatGeek purchase. That's $20 off. Just download the SeatGeek app and enter promo code GARDENREPORT today. That's promo code GARDENREPORT for $20 off your first SeatGeek purchase. Okay, back to you, Sam. I really am out of answers. This is just getting to the point where it's not fun. I feel like it's Groundhog Day. We're talking about the same things. This team, I'm just going to say it, I've been taking a lot of heat for this. They're just not very good right now, and I think that that's a fact we have to face.
Yeah. And I mean, I think that this is what a team looks like when you lose an all-star for the year in the first 5 minutes of the season. Like, I think that, you know, in some ways the winning streak happening where it did was one of kind of the worst things that could have happened to the Celtics season, because I think that this team we're seeing I don't think the Celtics are as bad as they've played recently, but I also do not think they're as good as they played during that 16-game winning stretch. I think that we're more likely to see them sort of even out somewhere in the middle. I also took a little bit of heat because in December I was asking, you know, are we sure that the Raptors aren't the best team in the East? And everyone called me insane. But here's, you know, a Raptors team that's executing very well. You know, they've been to the playoffs a couple of times now. They've got good young players. They've totally changed the way they play. So it's not, you know, the same look they're putting out there. And you've got, you know, a Cleveland team that's, you know, you can't go anywhere without running into what they did at the deadline. So everyone knows what's going on there. And they are suddenly, you know, looking a lot better. And LeBron seems re-energized, which is, you know, bad news for Celtics fans. So, you know, suddenly the shoe-in to the Eastern Conference Finals does not look as much of a given. And I think that, you know, I think that's okay. The Celtics are one of the youngest teams in the NBA. We gotta hit that point home and remember that first and foremost. This team was operating way, way, way above what any team that has an average age of, you know, 25 or 26 or whatever it is, you know, should be doing. But, you know, at the same time, I understand why it can be so frustrating to see a team execute so well and do so much right during, you know, that 16 game winning streak at the beginning of the year and just suddenly, you know, seem to lose it as the year goes along.
And I think Brad would agree with you. Brad Stevens would agree with you. I think time and time again, he said, we were not as good as that 16-game winning streak. There was a lot that went right during that winning streak. Look at how well Jason Tatum played in that winning streak. And I don't want to overstate it. He's not being a shell of him for his former self. But clearly, he's not the player he was during that streak. I don't think Jaylen Brown is either. So they helped carry this team through that winning streak. There were just some amazing moments. And I have to laugh. You mentioned Toronto. Well, they won tonight. So now they're two games up on the Celtics for first in the Eastern Conference. I'm getting sick and tired of people in Celtic Nation talking down DeMar DeRozan and talking down Kyle Lowry as if these guys are somehow pretenders to the Eastern Conference title. Everybody must be a pretender to the Eastern Conference title, not be named LeBron James, right? The Raptors have been criticized for failing in the playoffs. Well, hell, everybody has failed against LeBron James in the playoffs. So why we point out the Raptors' failings is beyond me. And right now, they are the best team in the Eastern Conference, period. End of discussion.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and like that's the – and you really can't argue with that. I mean, that's literally just a fact. And you know, this is but on the other side of the coin, though, this is also, you know, kind of what Danny Ainge is building towards. I know some people are going to be very upset, particularly given where you know, the fact that, you know, it seemed they were in first place, they didn't make the trade. Now things seem to be falling apart at just the wrong time. But the reason Toronto is where they are is because they held on to their stars, they kept their guys there for continuity, and they drafted well. They kept their first-round picks, and they drafted well. These guys, Jakob Poeltl, DeLon Wright, Pascal Siakam, OG Anunoby, I'm forgetting one, Norman Powell. Those are all guys that were drafted there by the Raptors, brought up in their culture. You know, they kept their draft picks. They did not trade them away for rentals at the deadline. I think they did once for Ibaka, you know, who they got for pennies, you know, on the dollar, and just, you know, looks like his old self back in there. So, you know, this is why Brad Stevens is, you know, holding on to these first round draft picks. And I hear people say that, like, no one is, there's no room for these young guys on the roster. They traded away a lot of their depth in the Kyrie Irving trade, which is why, you know, it'll be great if Semi Ojeleye, you know, really develops. You know, Marcus Morris and, you know, Aron Baynes are not going to be here for a long time. You know, Abdel Nader, bless his heart, I do not think that, you know, they're going to send the first round draft pick down to Maine to keep him on the, you know, the upgraded roster. So this is, you know, this is where the Celtics are. I think because Brad Stevens has overachieved for such a tremendous period of time with the amount of talent that he's been given. We have these astronomical staggered standards as to where the Celtics should be right now. And we kind of lose sight of the fact that this is a, you know, a team that started its rebuild 5 years ago and lost an all-star, like a marquee max all-star free agent 5 minutes into the season. And they're like in it, you know? So I understand the frustration because it's so hard to see that and to just, you know, recalibrate once you've seen how good this team can be. But at the same time, like, you know, we got to understand that, you know, Jason Tatum is going to hit a rookie wall, you know, like that was always going to happen. Yep. Yes. And, you know, so that's where we're at. You know, I would not I am not overly worried in the long run about what this team is going to be, because we don't even know what this
neither
team
am
looks
I.
Like. Yeah.
Right. The team is way ahead of schedule. Gordon Hayward's been hurt. So I just think that that 16-game winning streak just set us up for disappointment. Now, having said that, this team is better than the crap that they're putting up at home right now.
Absolutely.
The defensive effort
the
is
Kings
just
are better
god
than
awful. It's absolutely awful. So, Sam, let's do this. I know we have other people on the line. The toll-free call lines are 347-215-7771. If you want to call about tonight's latest debacle at TD Garden, Celtics lose to the Clippers 129-116. DeAndre Jordan, 30 points tonight. Lou Williams was quiet the whole game into the fourth quarter. Believe it or not, the Celtics actually took a lead in this game. We forget this. They took a brief four-point lead in the fourth quarter. Terry Rozier hit a three-point shot. I thought things were going to get under control, and then Lou Williams finally caught fire. Our good buddy Avery Bradley with 10 points in the contest. Let's go out to Isaiah, who has been waiting patiently on the line since before we fired up the show.
What's going on, fellas? How's everything tonight?
Hey, how you doing, man?
I'm all right, Sam. How's everything with you, brother? Long time no talk.
Yeah, I'm staying alive, man. I don't know. Like, I might have iron poisoning from, you know, the stones I saw thrown up there tonight. But hopefully you're living better than I am right now, because I'm dragging, man.
Yeah, I feel the same way, man. I feel like we're rowing a boat with one oar. You know, like we're going around in circles. But I think we do need to relax a little bit and not overreact to what's going on. It's been a long season for the Seas so far. It's been a long season in the NBA, period. I mean, you see teams like Golden State limping to the finish line or limping to the All-Star break. You know, the only team that's pretty much going super strong right now is Houston. So everyone else is having their ups and downs and showing the wear and tear of a long first half of the season. So I think that if Brad's the coach that I think he is, I think that he's going to utilize the time off. And I think all the players can use the time off, especially with the schedule we played in the first half of the season, because we do look tired out there. But I think it's a couple of things that Brad should be concentrating on going into the second half of the season. First of all, I think Brad's going to love having Marcus back with the team, because I think Marcus is the captain of the team. Whether the people out there that want to trade him and get him off the team, you've seen what we look like without him. Marcus is the grit. He's the balls. He's the spit on this team, and it seems like we are so soft out there without him.
You can't see me right now, but I'm dancing. I'm dancing. I'm yes, like, everything you're saying, keep it coming. Keep it coming.
Every guard that we have on this team right now, for all you Terry Rozier fans out there, and I like Terry too, but I like Terry in a role, and his role is not bigger than Marcus's, because I understand Kyrie trailing on every point guard he plays, because Kyrie plays so hard at the other end, and he has to because of the lack of scoring on the team, or the lack of consistent scoring. So I get it that Kyrie doesn't give his all on the defensive end. So I give him a pass somewhat. Although there are times I'm yelling at him, Kyrie, don't get stuck on the screen. Kyrie, stop trailing. Kyrie, you know, but I got to remember and keep in mind that he's lifting a tremendous weight on the offensive end. Mm-hmm. Now, Terry doesn't have that responsibility. And when I'm watching the game and I see Terry getting caught on screens, Terry running behind other point guards, because that's the problem. Our rotations are all messed up because our guards, since Marcus has been out, have been lagging on screens, getting caught on him, and trailing too many point guards. And two guards coming into the lane on cuts. And when they're dribbling into the lane, when that defense rotates, they're making an easy pass for either the alley-oop or for the lay-in or whatever it is. Our defense is broken down on the back end because the front end stinks. And the front end stinks because that pit bull that has been locking people up for how long isn't on the court. And that's just physically on the court. That doesn't say have anything to do with the mentality that Marcus brings to the team. Marcus is a junkyard dog and is the first one to get on the floor. Since Marcus hasn't been on this team, I don't see anyone wanting it on the defensive end. He's the only one that has consistently made plays, winning plays on the defense that doesn't have anything to do with the ball necessarily.
Yeah, and to your point, Yeah, mm-hmm. to your point, like, you know, we're talking about, you know, Marcus Smart. You know, this is a guy who, you know, we call it the Ojeleye factory, but he really started it. This is a strong guy who, you know, gives you that extra little bit of switchability. So, you know, if you do get your guard switched onto, you know, a bigger guy, he's not giving, you know, he's not letting guys get position on him down on the nail or anything like that. He's going to push him off the spot.
And Sam, I'm not even talking about on the switch. I'm talking about how many times have we seen Marcus blow up the pick and roll? He just goes right through that shoulder of the power forward or the center and stays in contact, stays attached to his man. That's not happening right now. That's why the back end is so messed up. So I think Marcus coming back is going to fix a lot of the problems that we have, not to mention that Terry is a horrible ball handler and playmaker on that second unit. If he doesn't have the ball in his hands, I've seen so many times when he does have the ball in his hand and he's missed offensive plays. He doesn't see the court as well as Marcus does. So I think Marcus is going to settle a lot of things down when he comes back. Everybody will start getting back into their roles, including Terry. And I think that'll help on the defensive end because we'll have that tip of the spear that we've been sorely missing.
Yeah. I mean, Terry. Go ahead.
The other thing, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but the other thing that I think is a problem, and I think Brad needs to address it, and I think he's waiting until the break to do it, is I think Greg Monroe needs to play more. Everyone loves what Baines has done so far, and everyone loves what Tice has done so far, but let's keep it real. Greg Monroe is a better player than both of them, and he balances the offense. So if you can start a game, and I think he should start personally, and I think you live with his defense, good, bad, or indifferent. Because if you can start a game with Greg Monroe and Al and then split them up at like that 8-minute mark and then at least keep one of them on the court to balance the offense where you can either run the offense through Greg in the post or run the offense through Al at the top of the key, whichever way, so that we can have more balance and utilize Greg Monroe's rebounding and his offense and his ability to ground an offense. Because there are so many times where we just get jump shot oriented and we just keep shooting threes, whether they're going in or not. We just keep shooting J's, whether they're going in or not, and we're not getting those boards. I think that Greg would be a great player to utilize in having one, either him or Al, on the court most of the time. And if that means we got to cut Baines' minutes or cut Tice's minutes, so be it, because he's a better player than both of them.
Yeah, and I've Monroe is not a guy I have watched a tremendous amount outside of, you know, when he's played the Celtics, you know, I guess being on the Bucks and the Pistons.
And he's killed us.
And he's killed us in those things. But I've always heard that the scouting report on Greg was, you know, this guy posts, you know, and he's bad on defense at the other end. Greg has been a fine defender since he's been in Boston, at least in my mind's eye. Like, it's actually almost kind of been the opposite, where he has not been that assertive ball hog that, you know, I think part of that is, you know, you're coming into a new team, you're learning the system, you don't want to come out of the gate and immediately, you know, dominate the offense. But he's done a lot with a little terms of, like, his role here in Boston. Like, he's had some, you know, defensive times where, you know, he circled the guy under the basket, pushed him out, you know, hung in it, and then made him, you know, hit a tough shot. He's been involved with that. His help has been, you know, he's missed it a couple of times, but, you know, kind of every guy does that. He's mostly been on time and been better than, you know, some of these other bigs that the Celtics have. So I'm absolutely with you on that, on Greg Monroe. You know, I think, you know, Brad's big on, you know, making sure that, you know, not to usurp, you know, whatever, you know, everyone's got to kind of earn what they're getting there. But I would not be surprised to see Greg starting soon if this keeps up too much more, because, you know, he really, counter to what we've heard in the past, I really think he's been very, not good, but, like, very solid on defense. And, you know, if you can get that offensive production on the other end, like, absolutely, absolutely.
And if you look at the last couple of games, he's put up the same numbers as the other guys who have been either splitting or getting more minutes with him. He's been averaging, like, 10 minutes a game, and his stats are better than Tice, either equal or better than Tice. And to Baines over the last few games since he's been with the team.
And guys, I'm back on. I couldn't agree with you more on Greg Monroe. I just think he's needed a little time with the team. But if we're worried about his defense, well, everybody needs to look in the mirror.
I'm not worried about his defense.
Yeah. Everybody's horrible on defense right now.
Yeah. I really think Marcus will fix that though. I think Marcus coming back, he'll put that mentality in there, because right now we're soft.
I agree with you on that point, Isaiah. I'm not a huge Marcus Smart fan. I never have been. Yeah, I know.
We're gonna have a fight.
Ty, you made me call in last year, Ty, when you went on one of your rants Marcus needs to be traded right now.
I just want to let you know.
We gotta hear all sides though. That's the other thing is why I wanna hear your smart take though.
Well, no, you know that you're telling me that, you know, he's the spark that's missing. But keep in mind, he was part of that four-game losing. He was healthy during that four-game losing streak, right? And the Celtics are 6-9 in their last 15 games, and they kick off those nine losses with four losses in a row. They had, three in a row at the Garden in that? Before he got hurt, before they hit the road for L.A. So I think you have to have a player who has some offensive ability. Just a little, and Marcus just doesn't have any at all, I don't think. My buddy Nick Stento on the show always says, what's Marcus's go-to move? He doesn't have one. At least Terry can handle the ball. Terry can get hot. Terry gets things going. He did in this game to bring the Celtics back. He was a key part of the game not getting away from them tonight. I agree with you on some things on Rozier, particularly on defense, but I like Terry overall as a player more than I do Marcus. I think he's more complete. Now, but that's just my opinion. That's why we do these shows.
Now, Ty, let me ask you this. And I dig your opinion. I really understand what you're saying. And you've been consistent the whole time. But let me ask you, is Marcus a role player? Like, there were times in the past where he's been overrated. The way he's been overrated and people thought he was a starter. Would you agree with me and say that he's a role player?
Yeah, I think he's a role player on a championship team. Absolutely. There's no question
exactly.
in my mind.
Exactly. A really good role player, I think, because I think he's opportunistic and when he shines. If that's the case, then you got to understand that every guy isn't going to be a scorer in a championship team. And I'll
Correct.
Take the points that Marcus
so,
– I'll take the 10 points that Marcus is giving me every night, because he's either giving me 10 points or he's giving me more than that. But the other plays and the other things he brings to the table that it's been clear to me that other guys on this team don't bring, including that rah-rah, sis-boom-ba that he brings every game.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying, and I think he would be a great championship team. I think his offensive liabilities – are spotlighted because the Celtics just don't have any players other than Kyrie Irving, Terry Rozier once in a while that can create their own shot. I found myself, guys, tonight, I hate to say this, I was actually jealous of the Clippers watching guys like Tobias Harris create their own shot, watching Danilo Gallinari create his own shot. Lou Williams, of course, who's the master of doing that and who put this game away in the fourth quarter. Who do we have other than Kyrie Irving who can really create their own shot? Yes, I know Jason, once in a while off the dribble, does his own thing. Jaylen Brown, they don't have the consistency yet, and maybe they will someday. I think they will.
But why does Marcus have to take the brunt of that? Why does he? Because let me give you an example. Al Horford, for as much as we all love him, is making $27 million. And averages 14.5 points, seven boards, and five assists, and everyone acts as if he's the best thing out there. And he's probably the only guy making that much money that doesn't even average 18 to 20 points a game.
He does everything well, though, right? He
rebounds. He's a super duper.
He's a phenomenal passer. Yeah.
And Marcus isn't making any of that money. Marcus is on his rookie deal still. So why does everyone get on Marcus for playing his role and don't get on Al for playing the role of a $27 million man?
Mm-hmm.
You can't get mad at Marcus for playing his role and then turn around and give Al a pass for the amount of money, because that's cap room he's taking up. If Al was getting paid $18 million instead of $27 million, wouldn't we have another six man of the year on the bench that we could give that extra money to?
We wouldn't have Al Horford, though, right?
Exactly.
I would not be in green.
Exactly. Al is a perfect third or fourth guy on your team. The problem is that Gordon Hayward's not there, and he's a number two now. And,
it would be great to get that all-star wing in. If there's only way for the Celtics to add an all-star wing to this squad that they've got going.
Yes, it's funny how the 16-game winning streak made us forget all of that.
Yeah.
How well Jason Tatum played made us forget all of that. How well Jaylen Brown early on made us forget all that.
Well, speaking of which, that's another thing that you can actually bring up. I think Jaylen Brown's defense is overrated, and I think that we need to live with that. I think his defense is overrated. I think he keeps sticking him on guys. Well, you're right, because he could get bigger, stronger. But because I do see him getting moved a lot. But he's not the defender that people want to make him out to be. I think Jason Tatum is the better defender of the two.
Night.
I think Jason Tatum is the better defender. But I think that we've got to live with the fact that Brown is going to be an average defender. And so far, he's been inconsistent on the offensive end, because as the season's gone on, it's really taken its toll on his scoring. He's inconsistent, and I think that's where the scoring should have been coming from, Al and Brown.
I will say that, if we're gonna talk about Jaylen Brown, though, pretty elite rebounder for his size, like one of the top guys in the NBA, and I think I think his emergence is part of the reason. And I think Jason Tatum should get some credit for this too, but mostly Jaylen Brown, of the emergence of the Celtics being able to play as small as they do and not really get destroyed on the boards the way they did last year, because he is just the athleticism, strength. Like he got some big boards in traffic down the stretch that the Celtics were not able to capitalize on, but he pulled one down in that I think the Celtics missed about three shots in a row and nobody hit a shot, but he pulled down a rebound between like three guys in there. And I think that's really the big strength of Jaylen Brown. Do you have any final thoughts, Isaiah, before we let you go?
For everything that I said about the team, I think everything is also fixable, except for the Al part. We got to live with that until Gordon Hayward comes back. But
you're not going to let my guy Marcus Morris shoot his way out of this? Come on, baby. He's almost there.
That's a Brad thing. But that's a Brad thing, though. Brad has to find the right lineups to make Marcus Morris shine. Because a lot of times he put Marcus Morris in there because he's not always engaged in the game. You know, he floats through a game. So I think that the lineups that you have to put Marcus Morris in is on Brad. He's got to and everyone knows Brad is, the scientific genius with his lineups in the first half of the season. He buckles down in the second half. So I'm really interested in seeing his rotation in the second half and who he has playing with who. Because at times during the first half of every season that he's been there, you can find any lineup of any configuration of players at any time. And in the second half, he's traditionally pared it down. So I'm looking forward to seeing who he has around Marcus Morris as he plays moving forward. But other than that, I think everything is fixable on this team. I think we can. I think that the defense is going to be there in the second half once they get a rest and more practice time. And I think the second half of the season is going to be somewhat easier. And I think we'll find our stride again.
I hope so, Isaiah, because this team has been unwatchable the last four games. Unwatchable. Yeah, it hasn't been a lot of fun.
But they're limping, Ty. They're limping, man. They're running out of gas. They're going to the gas station and they're filled up again. Or at least get a half a tank.
Thanks for calling in.
All right, fellas. Have a good one. Go green.
Take care.
Take it easy, man.
That's Isaiah, who says the key to the Celtic turnaround is one Mr. Marcus Smart. And, Sam, I know you're a huge, huge fan. But let's be candid here. The Celtics are 6-9 over their last 15 games. That's a pretty damn good sample size. And Marcus Smart played in four of those losses. That was a four-game losing streak. That was the Pelicans loss. That was the horrible loss to the – remember that god-awful loss to the Magic? Oh, my God, at home?
Mm-hmm.
They lose on the road at an L.A. team that was horrible at the time. They're still horrible, but that's beside the point. So I don't necessarily think that just bringing Marcus Smart and his grit and balls back is the complete answer. Right now, this team is in a funk, in a malaise. They're playing like one of the worst teams in the NBA statistically, especially on the defensive end. I am just shocked, and I'm surprised more people aren't shocked at how Brad is such a defensive whiz, and yet the numbers they are giving up at home, at TD Garden, where elite teams hold serve, the amount of points they are giving up at home is ridiculous. And I am the biggest Brad Stevens fan on this planet, okay? I was the one when Danny hired him right after Doc left. People was like, Brad, who is this guy? Blah. And I'm like, well, you don't understand. This guy took a mid-major to back-to-back national championship games, a Gordon Hayward heave from winning a national title with Gordon Hayward and, what, Shelvin Mack against, you know, Duke and Krzyzewski. And so nobody's a bigger Brad fan than I am, but there is no excuse for the utter lack of defense going on at TD Garden. I can kind of understand poor play on the road, but at home, where elite teams need to hold court, no thank you. He doesn't get off the hook on this one.
I hear you. I hear you. I do think to defend Marcus Smart a little bit, that four-game losing streak, you know, the scores that won in those games, 89, 103, 108, and then they did, you know, the Pelicans did hang 116 on them.
Right.
But so that stands out. But some of these other numbers that are in a post-Marcus board, like you know, they gave up 110 to the Hawks. They won that game, but they gave up 110 to the Hawks. Like, you know, 111 by the Raptors. You know, a Wizards team sans John Wall. I know they've been moving the ball, but no John Wall Wizards team, 104. You know, the Cavaliers, 121. A Clippers team, 129. Now, I will say this, because I'm glad you brought this up when we were talking with Isaiah, and I think this is a good point. You were saying that, you know, the Clippers have a lot of, you know, creation. And I want to hammer this point home. The Clippers are a good team. People, yeah, you know, wanted to, like, put that away, that they were, you know, they were dead in the water after that Blake trade. I like that Blake trade for them. You know, people thought they were just, you know, selling on their team. They got good players back. Tobias Harris is a hell of a player. Like, and, you know, Avery Bradley, we know what Avery Bradley is as Celtics fans. And they've really opened up a lot of opportunity for these other guys. And, you know, they've gotten – Gallinari's been injured all season. And that's always been the, you know, the knock on Danilo Gallinari is, you know, that he can't play. But when he can play, look out. Like, that's a real player. There's a reason they gave him all that money. And they knew that he was an injury risk. So, you know, you don't want to let the Celtics totally off the hook. I do think that this is a Celtics team that's going to win more games than last year's Celtics team did. They would need to go 14-9 over the last, you know, 23 games of the season to do that. I think that they can do that even, you know, even with some of this stuff not being right. And I think Brad Stevens will get things together. But you know, I just don't – what I don't see is the playoff upside. That's what disturbs me a little bit more. Like, you're not going to play this way in the playoffs.
No, you're not going to win. No, you're absolutely right. And yeah. I have a little gripe with people who have, like, forgotten that last year's team was 53-29 and had an amazing series against the Wizards with John Wall and Bradley Beal having fabulous series, and then going on to play the Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference Finals. We forget that that team accomplished that. And that team has a lot less talent than this one. So I don't think we should be making any comparisons to last year's team and about how we need to win X amount of games to beat last year's team. I just think that that's, we shouldn't be doing that. One thing I wish this team had, and I'll take the criticism. I'll take the criticism from everybody. The last, or every season, even the bad 25 win season under Brad Stevens, that team played with more with less, right? They never had the talent. They worked their asses off. That team last year had no business going to the Eastern Conference Finals. And Brad got every ounce of talent out of everybody, from Amir Johnson to Jay Crowder to
Isaiah Thomas. Yeah.
He got everything out of them. Top Jonas Jerebko, all of those guys. And I, like I said, I'm going to take criticism. I'm sure I've had it all year from people who say I'm in love with last year's team. And I am, because that team had no business. They were ultimate overachievers. So I don't think we should be comparing this year's team, which to me is far more talented than last year's team. I don't think we should look at it, well, if they win 54 games, clearly they're a better squad. I want to see this team play with more piss and vinegar, if you will. This this year's team has played atrocious, I think, at home for a team that is supposed to be one of the elite teams. I think this is their 11th loss at home already this season, if I'm not mistaken. I think they're only like 21 and 11 at the Garden. I remember Garden was a place. Sam, when the Garden was a place that was so loud, the teams were intimidated, and the opposing teams went into the Garden and died. They didn't roll up 26, 27 point leads on the Celtics. That never happened. Not even in the really crappy Celtic era. So I'm just venting a little bit. So thank you for letting me get that off my chest. I think we had one more caller. Maybe we didn't. No, we didn't have. I think we've been filibustering so much about this loss that we lost the one other caller.
Let me just say to one of your points that I think, and I think that this is something that kind of bears repeating too, because I you're absolutely right about that last year's team overachieving. And I think that, I think that we are something that I really don't like is I think that we're sort of in a rush to, minimize what last year's squad did. I felt like this, with Isaiah Thomas having the hard time he's had in Cleveland and occasionally tossing shots back at, Celtics fans and stuff like that. I'm sure people don't appreciate what Isaiah Thomas did. Sometimes, you know what I'm saying? Like it was such a meteoric rise and now, I hate that it's happened, but a catastrophic fall for him.
Right.
Hopefully he can get it back together, but it's sort of a blink and you missed it moment of greatness in the NBA. Like he was, that stretch was so outlandish and so ridiculous, and he was so good. The defense wasn't there, but we didn't care. Celtics fans who love defense, that's like always been a Celtics calling card almost, is to the Bill Russell, KG, whoever it is, locking down the defense. We didn't really care. Isaiah Thomas was a big fat negative on defense because that's just how spectacular he was, on offense. But I do think that one thing we've got to also remember that's a big difference between those two squads is last year's Celtics team was a overachieving, but at the same time, veteran, deep squad. And I think that this squad is a pretty much the exact opposite in that it is a top heavy young team, Jason, we've relied so much on the young guys. This is what happens when you rely on, young guys for guys who are under the age of 25 for pretty much all of your minutes that aren't going to All-Stars. This is what happens. So I think that we also need to, sort of bear that in mind, that we're looking at a higher ceiling proposition that I think will pay dividends in the playoffs. Maybe not this time, maybe not even next year, but I think eventually this is this will be a very scary Boston Celtics team. And you're looking for that upside. And that's what Danny Ainge has, made these bets on. I also, think that we may have gotten a little bit comfortable with, what last year's team and did not appreciate, what that achievement was.
Thank you for saying that, because as a 40-year Celtic fan, that's how old I am, going way back, right? I mean, I was 10 years old when I watched Havlicek and JoJo White beat the Suns in the 76 finals. And I saw the ups and downs of this franchise. So to be able to watch a 53-point effort in an Eastern Conference semifinal game by Isaiah Thomas rallying his team down from double digits, that's a very special moment for me as a longtime fan. And forget what he said. Let's just appreciate what that team did and move on from it. And I think it's really a shame that a lot of us have already dismissed it and kind of crapped on it as, they got lucky or what. No, that was a very special year for the Celtics. In some ways, it reminded me of what the 2002 season where Pierce and Antoine Walker came out of nowhere after the Celtics traded Joe Johnson to the Suns. Was it to the Suns? Yeah, it was to the Suns for Tony Delk and Rodney Rogers, and they made that amazing run all the way to the Eastern Conference Finals against a really talented Nets team, a team that the Celtics had no business even contending with for the Eastern Conference title that year. But anyway, I'm glad you recognize that too, and I hope time heals the wounds, not that there should have ever been any, and we can appreciate last year's team for what it was, but quit comparing this year's team to that one, because this one has a completely different identity, and for me, still has a lot to prove. If you're going to, and I love Danny Ainge, I have defended him so much, but if you're going to make a major deal like he did, trading Crowder, and we're all hearing how much we won the deal. And true, it looks like we've won the deal, but this team hasn't done squat yet. Let's keep that in mind. Has not done squat yet. So as great as Kyrie Irving has played, the team hasn't accomplished anything. Hasn't made an Eastern Conference final. Hasn't won 53 games. Wasn't the number one seed in the East yet. And right now, with the Raptors winning tonight, Celtics 2 games back, Cleveland, I think they're 5 behind the Celtics, or maybe 4.5 now after tonight's loss. Cleveland's knocking on the door. Celtics better get it in gear. So anyway, I don't mean to go on a rant, but I'm really frustrated right now, Sam. So I'm glad you're listening to me.
No, it is. No, we're both pontificating out here. That's all you can do when the Celtics give up 129 at home to Neil Gallinari. Right.
Honestly, it's all this. How would I like to call it? False bravado by Celtic Nation, right? Pounding their chest. Oh, Toronto sucks in the playoffs. Oh, Cleveland's done. No, folks, they're really not. And in a blink of an eye, in the last 2 months, with the Celtics crap in the bed in the last 15 games, losing 9 of the 15, suddenly they're looking up at the Raptors, who are kicking ass, and the Cavaliers have pumped new energy into that franchise. LeBron, it's only 2 games. I'm not getting too wound up about them yet. I want to see what they do over the long haul. But they still have the best player in the world, man. How can we dismiss that?
Yeah, even just to like look at what the Celtics have done, I think that something what we've been dancing around, pretty much all night when we've kind of recounted Celtics history and what to expect going forward from the Celtics team, and I'm guilty of doing this literally earlier in the show, but this is like what we're talking about is. We've got to recognize that this is a Celtics team that went over massive, massive facelift, over massive overhaul.
Yes.
Just the bones of this team have been warping underneath its skin for 5 years now. So any norms that we are trying to draw, like this is what a Brad Stevens team does. We have no idea what a Brad Stevens team does. We have a general, idea, but this is why a Brad Stevens team could be number one in the East and could also be the sixth team in the lottery, because your players change so much from time to time. Now, that's an extreme example, but what I'm talking about is more when you look at the Celtics Brad got 4 of the same guys back from his team last year. That is insane. That is absolutely insane. And to, kind of look for consistency from something that is that much turnover, to look for threads of data, connecting those two teams is just crazy, because there's this like totally new personnel. It's literally almost literally a 2/3 new team. Like even the top player is a totally different player. Isaiah Thomas and Kyrie Irving, while, they hypothetically do very similar things, they're very different people, and this is, a Gordon Hayward who is, just not out there. And this is, I just want to go tie into this and just saying that, we got to appreciate Brad Stevens. Like, this is the amount of churn that he has had on his rosters since he came into the league is staggering. I know that the Celtics, are able to do this, but what I would caution Celtics fans against is drawing too many conclusions from any team that is not the 2017-2018 Boston Celtics that have happened in the past. Yeah. Because this is a different team.
I couldn't agree with you more. And we got to be patient. Doesn't mean I can't vent a little bit, and I'm frustrated with Celtic Nation, who calls this team the greatest thing, you know, team since sliced bread, and the Cavs are dead and the Raptors suck. And I look at a team that's giving up ridiculous amounts of points at home, and I'm like, what are you guys talking about? I guess I'm speaking to the fan base more than anything else. Hey, Sam, before we conclude with our final points, I got to get a word in from our sponsor, RX Bar, sponsor of the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post-game show. RX Bar, all natural, no BS, no additives. It's gluten-free, dairy-free, made with egg whites, dates, and nuts. It's your go-to snack at any time. Real ingredients, there's no filler, 11 flavors. I personally love the maple and sea salt, and it is just an incredible product. And just by being a listener of the CLNS Media Boston Celtics post-game show, you get 25% off your first order. Go to rxbar.com/CLNS Media at checkout. Once again, RX Bar. I saw them in the store today. I even grabbed one at the store. These things are so good. You got to try them. 11 flavors, 25% off your first order. Go to rxbar.com/CLNS Media. To your point about Brad Stevens, and I was just thinking about what this guy has gone through. I think back to the first year when he took over the team. I don't think we give this guy enough love at all. I remember traveling to Portland to watch this Celtics team play. I think it was the LaMarcus Aldridge-led Blazers at the time. And Jordan Crawford was their starting guard then.
Oh, right? The days. The Chris Humphreys days.
And yeah. I think Gerald Wallace was sitting the bench. And Brad was that team, Kelly was a rookie. That team won 25 games and had no business winning 25 games.
After. Yes, absolutely not. That was by far the least talented roster in the league.
It was terrible.
Yeah, there was Jared Bayless was in the mix.
Jared Bayless. Avery was there. Jeff Green was there for a cup of coffee, I think, at the beginning of the season. Yeah. It was just
Brandon
Bass, horrible.
Bless his heart, not on a non-contending team out there getting two-handed dunks.
Getting stopped.
That's that's just, sort of where the Celtics started with, that was one of my favorite parallels to draw here too, just so Celtics fans can truly appreciate just how lucky we are, is that the very same draft, a lot of people don't know this, the very same draft that the Celtics traded Paul Pierce and Kevin Garnett and started their rebuild in earnest, was when Philadelphia started their process. That was when they traded Drew Holiday for Nerlens Noel to get the sixth pick and, one other pick in their draft. The Celtics have won so many more games, had so many more playoff series, have just been less of an embarrassment over that same period of time. I know that, things are finally looking up for the Sixers. I think that it's probably fair to say that Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid are better players than Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, I would agree. Yeah.
But the Celtics also have Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward, and Al Horford, and are, have another pick on the way here coming down the pipe at some point. I think that, looking at, the two paths diverged in the woods, and Danny Ainge enabled the Celtics fans to have their cake and eat it too. Only missing the playoffs once after making a trade, as ridiculous as that, is insane. And I think both Danny and Brad need to get credit for that.
And by the way, one of my favorite Celtic years was the year that they were 14-26. That was Brad's second year. I think they were headed to the All-Star break. Horrible. Make the Isaiah Thomas trade and take off and go to the playoffs against, I think, the Cavs in the first round and get swept. That was when J.R. Smith hit Crowder. I mean, and Kendrick Perkins started. It was so much fun, that series. Yeah. And losing doesn't create a winning culture. You play to win.
Oh, I remember those tanks. Those are making me mad. It's making me mad just remembering the takes. I had forgotten them. I had banished them to a dark corner of my mind.
So, Sam, back then I hosted the post-game show a lot, and I would get these idiots that would call in, we need to tank for Wiggins. We need to tank for so-and-so. And I'm like, who are you people? You do not create a winning culture. Losing breeds losing. It's that simple. It just does. Lottery teams tend to stay lottery teams for some good reason.
And so to watch the evolution of the Celtics, who didn't sacrifice for winning, right? They tried to win. Going to the playoffs with IT in that that first year was so much fun. And then watching them go to 48 wins and take on the Hawks, even though they lost that series. And then last year, how much fun was that? How much fun was it watching this team, or is it watching this team, just get better and better and better each year with no tanking at all? It's the Celtic way, man.
Right. And you know what they got for their trouble the 1 year that they did tank? My king, Marcus Smart.
That's right.
Bless his heart. He's now the longest tenured Celtic, which is a fascinating stat in itself. But B, you know, tops out. Marcus Smart is a pretty good pick there, by the way, at six. I think that's the right pick that they made there. It's tough to argue that they made it. There was anyone in, you know, contest that they could have taken otherwise.
I wanted Julius Randle, but that draft. Mm-hmm. But that's
yeah.
I don't know how well that would have worked out.
He's all right, but it's just. You're looking at this, you know, you realize that that's probably about as good as you. Maybe you get a player a little bit better than Marcus, but that's about as good as it was getting. With, you know, the Celtics tanking and not getting incredible lottery luck. And it's just, you know, you can be bad for a really long time. You can be the Timberwolves until Jimmy Butler came in there and yelled at all the rookies. Or, you know, or the Kings who, oh, my God. Somebody tweeted
they have the greatest fans in the world.
They do. They do. God bless their hearts. Somebody tweeted at me their draft picks over the past 10 years. Like, someone showed me this list. Do not look at it.
It's atrocious.
It will ruin your evening.
Jimmer. Yes. I hate to cut you off. We got to wrap up.
We should
wrap because I could go on all night. Celtics lose tonight 129-119 to the Clippers. DeAndre Jordan with 30 points, 13 boards. Lou Williams, 19 points. Kyrie, 33. Horford 20 in a loss. Celtics have lost 4 of 5. To the All-Star break we go. Good night, Sam.
All right, good night, Dave.
This has been the Celtics postgame show on CLNSradio.com. Thanks for listening. The Celtics might not be in action every day, but we are, so stay connected. Follow us on Twitter at CLNSRadio and check out our broadcast schedule for the best weekly sports podcasts on the web.